Good morning. My name is Joshua Toto. I'm presenting work today from our group, which, as was mentioned by my co-presenter, is called CHI. We're the Children's Environmental Health Initiative. We're a research, education, and outreach group that's based at the University of Michigan within the School of Natural Resources. So happy GIS Day. Today is GIS Day, actually, for those of you that know. Happy to be some changing gears back to GIS here. So I'm presenting work today on behalf of our co-authors, my co-authors, and I'd like to acknowledge them now. The name of this presentation is Virtually There, and it's focused on using web-based training to build GIS capacity within public health departments. So I'm gonna share some of our experiences and efforts to develop web-based training content. Okay, I have no relationships to disclose. All right. So the learning objectives for this chat this morning, I want to, again, as we'll describe an approach to training to build GIS capacity within state and local health departments that's web-based. We'll, if you're interested in embarking on a similar journey, we'll talk about some key considerations and components for a web-based training. And finally, we had an opportunity to compare and contrast outcomes from the different approaches, web-based as opposed to in-person training. So I'll share some of those results with you. Okay, a little bit of background. So we are currently engaged in a productive collaboration with U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention Unit, and the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors to provide GIS capacity building opportunities for all 50 states. And to date, this has been a 7-year effort. To date, we've trained 29 states. And 18 local health departments. You can see on this map, if you're from one of these states, your state has received training, and if you're a local health department, you're actually eligible for training once your state has gone through the training opportunity. I'll mention the RFA, which was released a couple of weeks ago, if you're interested at the end of the presentation. But we've gotten pretty comfortable with our hosted training content, but we're starting to be a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, we started to have a growing interest in delivering our content through the web. Right? And there are some real practical reasons why we would want to do that. Web-based training helps us kind of address some of the time and travel constraints that are associated with hosting training at our facilities at the University of Michigan. So people like coming back to college, I think, so they enjoy that. But it's not always practical, right, to bring folks from all around the country to our shop for what effectively is 3 weeks during a 6-week period spread over, 3 weeks spread out over a 6-month period. We also wanted to start to offer options for advanced training. So once folks have been through our training, they often ask for more advanced training. And to do that, again, it's not practical in all cases for us to bring them out to our shop for training. So the web-based training would allow us to expand our training model. We also, so in evaluating whether or not this would work, we wanted to better understand some of the, I guess, pros and cons for web-based GIS training. Okay. So the way our training curriculum is structured currently for live training is there are three kind of successive training sessions that each, GIS-1, which is called data display, GIS-2 is data management, and GIS-3, data analysis. So each one of these content pieces is modular, so there are modules that comprise each one of these training events. And each one builds on the other. So we've kind of iteratively developed this training content, and we're pretty comfortable with where we are. We think it delivers the right amount of content and the right amount of time for public health professionals, which are typically EPI and program staff from state and local health departments. So the way the live training works is teams are competitively selected. And I mentioned team because teams, any application in the response to the RFA, health departments actually put together a team. And that's one of the evaluation components for applications. We want to look. We're looking for kind of integrated teams with folks from, as I said, EPI management and also program evaluation. It includes an Esri software grant because this is a major barrier for folks who are attempting to learn desktop GIS. The software can be expensive, so Esri is nice enough to provide a software grant. The training also includes comprehensive support, which is essential for, novice GIS users. We provide support by a number of different methods. We have regular office hours, so this is kind of virtual desktop support that folks can come to. They can request specific items for discussion, or they can just show up and listen. And this is a great way for us to stay in touch virtually with our trainees. We also use health department specific data. So it was mentioned a lot of the more interesting data is actually at the local level. And we're not completely aware of all the data sets that are at a health department's disposal. So we build relationships with data stewards and local health departments and kind of liberate some of that data for use in GIS. And probably one of the more important elements of this training is that it's project-based. So rather than a set of prescriptive assignments, we actually work with health departments to develop proposals. So in their applications, they have a set of GIS proposals that we help them to develop using their own data. And that really, allows them to apply some of the skills and techniques that we're covering in the training content directly to meet their priorities. Okay, so that's the live training. And so over the course of 6 months, there are three training events, and the folks actually come to our shop for training during those times. And these are teams of four that are, again, handpicked by each participating health department. Okay? So what we wanted to do was we wanted to see if we could replicate some of the success from our hosted training in a web-based delivery system. So this everything is the same with this particular training. So most of the elements that are present in the live training are also part of this training. The biggest difference is everything is done via the web, right? So training presentations, educational content, it's all their video presentations, and people actually go through these training modules on their own, right? So when they have time. They still, all the comprehensive support that we offer for the live training are still offered. It's just we don't actually meet each other in person, right? Everything's handled using web conferencing tools. And I'll go over some of the tools that we use. There's also a follow-up call after the folks have completed the training content, right? The other kind of big difference between this and the other and the live training is people can go through this training content whenever they want. And what we found is people actually oftentimes do this at home or do it on their personal machine. So I have software provided if needed. We can provide educational licenses for folks that are participating in the web training. We don't necessarily have to work through a centralized IT process to do that. And we found that actually can expedite the process of getting people the software in many cases. Okay. So we kind of did a natural experiment because we had for the 2014 cohort, which just finished last month, we had five health departments that we did the pure hosted training. We had six health departments where we decided, hey, we're going to pick one of those modules, if you remember the three, GIS 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to actually deliver it purely web-based. So we talked with our funders and our collaborators at NACD, National Association of Chronic Disease Directors, and CDC, and we decided that we were going to deliver GIS 1 web-based. It's introductory content, and it's content that's covered in successive trainings again. So if we totally messed them up doing this web-based training, we could conceivably catch them back up with hosted trainings for GIS 2 and GIS 3. So it was a good experiment, right? So we, with those six teams from this beta group, GIS 1 was actually delivered before we ever met them via the web. So we were able to survey, in both cases, participants from the live training and the web-based training to find out a little bit more information about how successful each one of the training events were. So we were specifically interested, this is a screenshot of one of the surveys for the web-based training. We were interested in what content was particularly challenging for the participants, their confidence or skill level before and after the training. Was there any collaboration, right? Because it seems silly, but actually bringing teams together from the same health department in one room and having them work on problems, actually we found it encourages collaboration with people who may not work together on a day-to-day basis. So we're taking them out of their context, putting them in our context, and making them work together, kind of mushing them together. And it actually is pretty effective. So we're interested in that. Any types of collaboration or engagement amongst team members happened when the training was entirely web-based. We're also interested in technical difficulties, because in some of our earlier experiments, we noticed there are a lot of challenges with using some of the tools that we use to connect with people through the web. We also were interested in how they made use of our comprehensive support. So this is probably one of the more important elements of the training content, is that we actually provide comprehensive support and develop relationships with our participants over time. And I'll talk about some of the things that we found out. Okay? So these are this is a screenshot of some of the results of the survey. Excuse me. Each one of these elements is one of the components or modules associated with GIS-1. We wanted to know what was if there was any differences in what the so there's content traditionally for brand new GIS users that's more challenging than others. So you mentioned projections, and right, that's something that's always an issue with new GIS users, and that's working with spatial data here. So you can see that's challenging, and this is consistent with what we find with the hosted training content as well. So no differences with what's challenging. We also asked, okay, is some of that challenging content probably more suitable for in-person interaction or training? And working with spatial data probably is the single most popular response for that. And we're aware of that. So when that takes a lot of hands-on and touching, you know, in a room saying, this is how this particular projection works, this is why you should use it. And it's something that's covered in each one of our GIS training events. So we used to, I think, address that once, and over time, we've discovered that it actually needs to be addressed during each training, right, to make sure that people get it. So this is no surprise, but it certainly does guide us in the future if we're going to address projections, if we're going to introduce it in a web-based method of delivery. We certainly need to cover it in person as well, right? So these are kind of the different categories. Learning categories associated with GIS-1, and we measure confidence before and after. There was increased confidence for all of our web participants and our hosted training participants and all measured skills, technical skills. There were a couple of, as you can see in this particular, this is before the training and this is after, right? So we had increases in all levels of confidence for these technical skills. There were a couple of neutral areas. These colors are a little bit hard to read here. The neutral areas are on the far left. And you can see our projection information, or working with spatial data, is the most challenging piece of content for our trainees. So this is consistent with our hosted training as well. So there's no real surprises there. Challenging content is challenging content if you do it in person or if you do it web-based. Okay, so collaboration was something of interest as well for us. When I say collaboration, I mean, are people actually working on these exercises together? Are they kind of figuring things out in teams? And there was less than that. So there was 100% reported collaboration for our hosted training. They kind of are forced to work on these activities together. And you can see here about more than half actually did not report any collaboration, because what we're finding is people are actually doing this on their own time, right? It's worth, you know, there are enough competing interests when you're not taking out of your everyday work setting that a lot of times you'll find yourself doing this enrichment after work hours on a personal machine. You know, it's hard for us to replicate taking someone out of in front of their office computer, outside of their everyday, to work on something that's new. But there is something to be said for that. So the other thing that we noticed is that people did actually, we kind of pressed a little bit harder about questions for how they were working together. And people actually did reach out to expertise, so local GIS expertise. So maybe they worked on some problems the previous night, they connected with their local GIS expertise to figure things out. But that was more one-on-one connections as opposed to entire teams or networks of people. But this, we started to notice that maybe this has some implications for advanced training, for how people actually would tackle advanced training content as opposed to introductory GIS content. Technical difficulties, they seem to be less of an issue than they were even 3 years ago, right? So we used to encounter a lot of firewalls for a lot of our file sharing tools. We use a lot of open source file sharing tools and collaboration tools, and that seems to be less of an issue. It seems like IT people are getting a little bit more relaxed about some of the tools or more comfortable with some of the tools that we're using. So this did not seem to be an issue. There are minor issues related to file sharing because we use a system called Mbox to share secure files. We never share PHI using this system or health information or HIPAA constrained data, but sometimes IT departments are uncomfortable with open source file sharing tools. Software installation was something of interest. So that's when we work with teams on their everyday machines, their institutional machines, we have to work through IT, centralized IT. Most IT departments are centralized now, for better or worse. So we work through kind of this monolithic IT infrastructure, right, to get software installed. And that can actually be challenging. But if you have a machine, you say, hey, I just want to install this on my personal machine, I can do that pretty quickly. So we can cut down on a lot of the bureaucracy that's involved. I'm not saying that's a sustainable solution, but it's easier for us to get a license installed on a personal machine or a machine that you have administrative privileges on than it is on a machine that's locked down, as with most institutional machines. Right, so use of support. We found that these folks on the web training actually use the web-based support as much, in some cases more, than the folks that were engaged in the live training. And we also found that surprisingly, direct communication was direct communication through phone or email through our team was probably the most common method that they reached out for support, which was surprising. So one of the things, I'll talk about some of the caveats of this comparison after, but they certainly weren't shy about reaching out to us, even though they had never met us in person. Okay. So that was good. That was that was good information for us, and it kind of supported a lot of our intuitive feelings about how a web-based training might work out. But we wanted to. There seemed to be an opportunity, so it seems like the web-based training is especially well suited for introductory material, right, with support. But there also seemed to be an opportunity for advanced training, because some people actually extended and went beyond. Above and beyond the requirements for the introductory training. So we developed, we queried, we have a cohort of about 200 past trainees over those 29 states and 18 local health departments. And we said, okay, we're going to come up with some web-based training content for advanced topics. What are the topics that you're interested in? So we queried this group and we came up with three modules: mapping uncertainty, hotspot analysis, and applied spatial analysis. So we offered this content to past and current training participants, and it was first come, first serve. So each one of these three classes had 25 open seats, and it filled up within 1 week. So people were very interested in these web offerings. It was a week's time, so it was compressed. The schedule was, we did a short lecture and assignment, as a group on Monday. We had Q&A on Wednesday, an open discussion. We posted kind of the results of the Q&A after the session and made it available to the entire group, so you didn't actually have to come to the virtual Q&A session. And then we gave out assignments on Monday as well. I didn't mention that. Assignments were due on Friday of that week. And then Monday, we kind of had a flipped classroom where we'd pick out specific examples from people's work and discuss those examples and any problems or challenges they had. So that's an 8-day course cycle that's pretty quick and intense. There were no formal teams set up, but we made everyone's contact information available for each class. And people actually made connections across teams. So although we did not, with the web-based training and hosted training that I kind of compared previously, those teams were pre-configured, right, based on a response to an application. In this case, these teams actually formed organically. So people actually found people with like interests or like data sets and actually made connections, right, across training cohorts. So that was pretty interesting. So even without, with no formal teams, these advanced folks actually self-organized and helped each other out and learned from each other, I would argue. The other thing about this web training is there, as far as completion of the materials or attrition, everyone completed all the content. And it was a lot. We were busy during the time that this was done, but everyone actually complied and completed all the training content. So they were motivated to participate. There was an actual increase in collaboration. So you can see here, did you collaborate with colleagues? So what we found is because class size was limited, one person would sign up for a class once it was full, but then five people would all participate in the training together. And each one of them would do the assignment. That was clever. I mean, that's a good way of kind of getting around the seat limit constraints for a particular class. But it actually increased collaboration because people worked together. And for advanced training content, that was very appropriate. Competence and skills with the content increased for the majority. So this is a screenshot of that question. I'm more confident in my ability to communicate and understand. In this case, this is uncertainty after participating in this training. So mapping uncertainty was one of the first modules. And my questions were answered in the context of the webinar. So people seem to be capturing the content effectively. I have an asterisk there because this group, this cohort, are probably about 75 individuals. They're kind of like it's the A-team of people that have been through the training. So these are people that have showed up for every training event. They're very motivated, very skilled. I mean, they're the kind of people you want on your team, right? So it's great that we have this cohort, but this is definitely, they're on the right side of the curve as far as quantitative folks or people that are interested in mapping for GIS. But they started out as novices. They've just kind of propelled themselves to this place, but they're probably going to do well no matter what kind of content they have, right? That's kind of the reason why that asterisk is there. Okay, so discussion, I didn't mention this, but geographic information systems is a system, right? It's a collection of data. We talk about software and hardware, and we talk about methods. But people are an important part of that system, right? And we're all about building capacity and people. And there's something we're still struggling to kind of understand what that sweet spot is. How much interaction do we need with people to get this relatively new capacity, in this case, in chronic disease departments? Right? And we think web-based training can be effective. And in a time where resources are limited for travel, right, and time, web-based training is an attractive alternative. We still think that support services are important, especially for novice or new users of GIS. But we're excited with a wide range of collaborative tools that allow us to effectively be in the same space virtually, right? And our conclusions are that we think that a combination of web-based and in-person trainings may be most effective. So for the current RFA that's out, we will have a mix now. Rather than doing three training events all hosted, we can actually do five training events. So it kind of interdispersed between these hosted training events. We plan on deploying web-based delivery methods to kind of make sure that people are still with us throughout the six-month process. So this was a productive experiment for us. Again, this isn't, I think we should go ahead and make the distinction. This isn't content that we're putting out there and saying you can do this if you like. We're actually establishing a relationship with the participants, and I think that's essential, right? So this is not a MOOC, right? This is or a massive online open course. This is kind of tailored content, and we're using the web as a delivery system. Okay, so I'd like to acknowledge all our past and current trainees. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors, and the University of Michigan Office of Research Support. This is our website. If you're interested, you can check it out. I can provide my email address if you're interested in any training opportunities. We're always interested in having folks try out our training content. We have a number of pieces of our training content that are currently available online for your use. CDC curates all of our past and current training content as well. At the bottom of this presentation, I did put the link for the RFA, for this year's RFA. The deadline, I think, is mid-January. and states and local health departments are going to be notified sometime around Valentine's Day. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you very much.